Welcome to the Salem Emerging Leaders Podcast, presented by the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. Here are your hosts, Jacob Espinoza and Zachary Zalicki.
Yeah, let's look at that studio space. And we'll have all the room to maneuver around and set these things up, right?
I love it. So, Dan, I'm pretty excited. The first Citizens Awards banquet is coming up April 16th at 6 p.m.
That's right.
You've been there before.
Been there. Love it. Had a great time. Everybody who comes is going to have a great time.
I can't wait. I've never been. This will be my first one. But April 16th, 6 p.m., we will be at the Salem Convention Center. And we have to say a huge thanks to the sponsors, Pioneer Trust Bank, Mountain West Investment Corporation, for making this happen. This is a big deal for the city of Salem. I mean, we are recognizing the people in the city that are having the biggest impact overall.
Yeah, we're recognizing our distinguished citizens, the leaders of our community. These are the people who you're going to want to know and you're going to want to celebrate along with us.
Absolutely. You're going to want to be there. You're going to want to get connected and celebrate the people in your city doing awesome, awesome things. There will be a link for this in the show notes, so make sure to click on that. April 16th at the Salem Convention Center. Your Salem Area Chamber of Commerce presents the first Citizens Awards. It's a big deal.
It's one of the biggest events of the year. Don't miss it.
And we are back at the Salem Emerging Leader Podcast. Oh, man, Zach missed that one. That was one of my better intro songs. I feel
he'll hear it and he'll like it.
I think he will. But we're joined today with our marketing guy. Director, manager. I am so bad with titles. I literally don't even know my own title.
It's marketing and communications manager. But I've been saying marketing guy, comms guy, marketing person. You know, they get it.
Yeah, they get it. But Dan, we appreciate you being here, doing awesome work at the chamber. So Dan's been with us 3 weeks, Cynthia. And 1.5 of those weeks, he was on vacation.
Yeah.
So he like got here and was like, wow. Guess what? Going on vacation.
Yeah, I felt bad about that. But it was one of those deals where it was planned beforehand everything was booked.
I hope you didn't feel too bad because it sounded like a great time.
It was a good time.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, our guest today is Cynthia Padron, who is with Heartland Payment Systems.
Hello.
And is an incredible emerging leader in Salem. We met at the new member orientation.
Yes,
appreciate
we
you being a member. And I was like, we got to get Cynthia on the podcast. The community needs to know Cynthia a little bit better. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm flattered. It's pretty nice to get to actually meet people that work in my community. It's one thing to meet people in the streets, you know, everyone's from in and around town, but to actually meet people that do something in Salem besides, you know, shopping, that's what I like to do. but they're the actual person who manned the boat. That's just pretty awesome to have that connection with them.
And we were scheduling this time to record this podcast. And you said, well, I can't really do it after greeters because, as you know, if you're part of the chamber, every Friday morning we have our greeters where community gets together. We had over 100 people in attendance today. The place was packed.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
It was so fun. And then you said that usually you meet with somebody afterwards. So you kind of block that time out so you can get coffee. And I think it's awesome that you're taking the initiative and expanding your network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're consistent with it, where like almost every Friday you meet somebody new after greeters, which is incredible.
Yeah. I really like going to the greeters because I get to connect with different leaders, different people who play a huge role in this community. I've been fortunate to just connect with some of the chamber members and, you know, talk about partnerships and see how we can become referral partners. I think the chamber was a door that opened many doors for me.
That's so cool. You walk through that first door, then all of a sudden all these other doors are ready to go. And sometimes you get that momentum started, right? Things just kind of start happening. Was networking and, you know, meeting new people, is that something that came natural for you, or was that out of your comfort zone at first?
You know, at first it was a little timid because I know what I do and I know what I need to do, but it's like, okay, what is the first step? And I think once I just said, I'm going to go for it, it almost came natural. Like I was talking and trying to connect with friends, you know, and I think, we always talk, yeah, building relationships. Well, it's all about building friendships. Something that's going to last longer than, you know, your job. It kind of, I'm not saying, you know, bring your personal life with your work life, but in a sense, you know, it is personal.
Yeah, it starts off getting to know people as people, not mm-hmm. looking at them as objects that we're going to use to sell to or to help right. us reach our own goals. So that's a great first step. And that's the right perspective to have. I feel like a lot of people don't come to greeters with or just networking events in general with that mentality. They kind of come as hunters, like find prey to sell somebody to today. And like that's a tough approach to take. You're going to get burnt out pretty quick.
Yeah. And another big part of it is just being present and showing up to those events and just putting yourself out there and in that position to start meeting more people. Because that's been a great thing for me too, and being new to this role, is just starting to go to more events, like greeters, like some of these other meetings, and just getting to meet some of the other business owners in the community has been hugely helpful and beneficial already for me, just to start making those connections and learning sort of who to go to for things and who to lean on and who all the major players are and the support systems. And everyone is super supportive of each other in this community.
Yeah, that's one of the unique things about Salem, especially for our size. You think of the Mid-Willamette Valley is about the same size as Portland as far as population, but you still have access to people here that are making decisions, that are investing in the community, and people want to help. You know, we talked to a lot of restaurant owners, and they're always surprised when they're getting in the industry and they can reach out to other restaurant owners and they get, you know, help. People, they give them advice. They help them understand like where to go to solve certain problems, and that's a big deal. So for me, I'm very extroverted. So I'm just out there. Like it's easier for me to talk to people generally, but not everybody. And before we started recording, Cynthia, you did let me know that you are a little less extroverted, more introverted. So what did you find help you get out of your comfort zone? And how do you make that shift to, you know, I can start connecting and, you know, making a name for myself in this community?
Yeah, so I think it kind of all comes back to my experience. I used to work for a bank, and when I worked at the bank for 3 years, that's how I kind of first began my journey of going out and connecting with people. I would, you know, go out, introduce myself, you know, say that, you know, I'm just here in the area to help because I truly was there. And I really cared about their business, and I cared about where, you know, I was working and where I came from. And so when I came aboard Heartland, there was a lot of things that I didn't discover about myself. And so I found that, wow, like it's not really that hard for me to connect with people because I don't go in there, you know, just trying to hard sell. I'm going in there trying to ask, you know, who can I speak with if they're available? Can they give me the time of the day? I want to learn about you. And then we could talk about me. And so what really helped me was just being confident. I think in any line of work that you do, you have to be super confident. And in my line of work, especially, you have to be confident when you go into a place, you know, you're not going to let someone, you know, tear you down because it happens, you know. I guess that's just human nature. Sometimes we kind of just react before we think and do things. So,
yeah. And I'm sure that authenticity really helped you a lot too, because when you talked about, you know, going into those conversations, actually truly caring about the outcome and helping somebody, that comes across. People really pick up on that. And if it's fake or if it's manufactured, people can pick up on that too. So I'm sure that authenticity and genuineness about yourself really probably helped.
Yeah, I think it does. When I try to meet with people, I always say this, and I think it's so true. First impression is everything, because you only get one time to say who you are and who you're with and what you're all about. And I think that just because I think that all the time, that has kind of helped me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying pretend to be someone that you're not, because that's who they're going to want to work with. Never try to be someone that is deceitful, because in the end, it will show, like you said, authenticity. Yeah. It speaks louder than anything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think especially now with everybody trying to be an influencer online, like people have really become, you know, very good at understanding when somebody's full of it and just like making it up and like trying to portray this image. So it's tough, but like when somebody is willing to get vulnerable and really just, you know, share what they're passionate about and what their strengths are, it's a much easier way to connect. So what advice would you have to somebody that is, you know, a young leader getting their career started, maybe they're in transitioning and they're not exactly sure what they want to do next, but showing up to like a First Wednesday coffee social with the emerging leaders or greeters, what are some best practices that they can use to be successful at those events?
Yeah, I think something they could do is just understand everyone's perspective. You know, go in with an open heart, first off, and go in with an open mind. Really try to listen in on some of the things that people are battling in the sales force and in their line of business. And really try to build off of that. So when it comes time to meeting other people who are going through the same things, you can nurture them and actually offer something that will benefit them greatly. I think when we think of being salespeople, we just think, okay, we got to get our month in, we got to get our win. But when you start, yeah, exactly. But once you start thinking like that, you kind of lose sight of what you're really supposed to do. And that's helping someone who needs help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's exciting. That's exciting. Are you from Salem originally? Did you move here?
I am born and raised from Salem.
So for you, what are some things that you're seeing in the city now that have you excited, or maybe some things that you're like, hey, we need to do something about this?
Gosh, there are so many things that I've noticed. I mean, I'm fairly young. I'm 24. So in my 24 years of life, I mean, I've seen a significant change. I mean, something that was brought up at the new orientation meeting was Salem now has like a downtown scene. And that's huge. I think community is everything. And, you know, we have definitely come a long ways in Salem, and seeing all the new buildings and all the new emerging businesses, I like that. I think that is going to help drive other people to, you know, start their dream business and connect with other people because they love the community just as much as the person next door to them. And some things that I really like, that I would really like to happen, I would like more education for younger people, especially low to moderate income, to be taught the importance of financial wellness. Some things that I wasn't taught in school was, you know, exactly what I said, financial wellness and the importance of it. We talk about, oh, it's important to go to college. It's important to, you know, get a degree, have a plan. But how are you supposed to get to that plan? You know, it's harder said than done.
Yeah, that's something I struggle with too. A lot of the programs, I feel like the success measurement is having somebody get into college, but there isn't really any look into what happens after that. And like, are they just leaving with a ton of debt and they're not doing anything and not even finishing with their degree? I think that's a challenging, it's a narrative we need to be aware of, is like, what are we actually looking at accomplishing here? Because just getting somebody to college is potentially not setting them up for success any longer if you look at current trends.
Yeah, Cynthia, I see the exact same thing. We are seriously lacking in education in that area, and it's such a huge part of adult life. Mm-hmm. It's a practical skill that kids need to learn at a young age to be, you know, fiscally responsible and understand how these things work. And yeah, you just have so many kids, you know, going and getting a degree in whatever, but then, Jacob, like you said, graduating with that debt, not really knowing where to go next or how to manage their finances, you know, making not the best financial decisions, and that compounds and then leads to other problems. So it's just, why aren't we having that in the classroom in high school?
Because you don't know what you don't know, right? If you're that age, you know what your parents have taught you. You have influences outside with, you know, the internet and things like that. But if you don't have like a guide or a mentor to help you understand, like, here's the things you need to do to set yourself up for success as an adult, it's going to be tough. And I mean, if you have a rough, you know, 18 to 25 and you don't set yourself up for success after that, you don't have a support system that's going to lift you up and help you like get back on track, then it can be tough, and you know, bad habits compound pretty quick.
Yeah, I got lucky because I married a financial professional, so that is all taken care of, and I don't have to worry about it. She's, you know,
perks right yeah. there.
She's really good at what she does and helps me in those areas. So, but I would have been completely lost if it weren't for that. So.
Yeah, I had after I got married, we got a house, and people asked me, "How do you do that?" It's like my wife had really good credit when we got married, so ended up working out.
You're okay. Like, yeah, just ask her; she knows everything.
Yeah, ask her; she'll tell you how she did it. I was just there for the ride. Yeah, absolutely. So what are so another question I have, and I'm as we're developing programming for you, I mean specifically, right? Like your demographic, people that are getting started but are super motivated and are hungry. Like what types of support do you think would be most helpful as you're talking to your peers and just yourself? Like are there things that you have kind of have just wished was available?
Yeah, so something that has worked for me and something that I just do on my own is I try to connect with as many other professionals because they are thinking of things that I would have never thought of and they're doing things that I had no idea I could even do. And so it's all about planting the seed, right? So planting your seeds with all these different individuals and letting, you know, it sprout up into something that you could actually benefit and learn from. And I think connecting with people is so powerful. It's helped me so much. I'm not saying like, you know, I'm making, you know, all this money and off of connecting people. I'm saying that it's more than that. It's all about figuring out who you are and how you guys can actually better network together. It's awesome to meet new people. I get so excited. I go home and I tell my husband, yeah, I met this person and it went like this and it was super fun. And he was like, that's awesome. He's like, what else did he say? Well, that's really all he says. He's like, that's awesome. I'm glad that you connected with people. And then he's like, but I don't really get what you connected with them for. And I was like, well, honey, I connected with them because one, I need to get to know more people because it's important for me to know what everyone is doing in my community. And hey, maybe I could actually help. Maybe I could do something. So yeah, I guess I kind of think a little too big sometimes.
No, keep thinking big. Like we need more people like that.
Yeah.
I feel like, I think that's one of the reasons that you're expanding your network is so important because you can find people that are like you. Because if you're the only one in a room that's thinking big, you're going to feel like you're a crazy person, right? Because like, something wrong with me? Like, I'm looking at this way, but everybody else is like not focused on the same thing. But if you get in a room of like other people that are thinking the same way you are and are like taking action, and you can share best practices and understand what's working. Some people maybe can share from experience, right? Like, that's powerful. It's extremely powerful. I am passionate about the idea that we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. And so if you're the smartest person in the room, like you got to find another room to be in. And the way you can do that is by networking, talking to people and understanding what's out there, who can help.
But yeah, that's so true. You know, always trying to surround yourself with the right type of crowd, I think is something a lot of young people have a hard time doing because we, you know, influence on social media and the neighborhood you grew up in, it's hard to leave that scene, especially if it's not the best one. It's harder to leave because those are your people. Those are the people you grow up with and you want to stay with them, right? But sometimes you have to know when it's the right time to either step away because your well-being is important or knowing, okay, what can I do to better help all those people in my life? Because, you know, they're not just friends, you know, they're my family and I want better for my family.
Amen. Holy smokes. I'm getting fired up right now. The, because what happens is when we make changes, like if you have people in your life that you try and fail and they laugh at you until you don't try, like you got to fucking run, like get out of that circle. That is
not
for you.
That's not a supportive circle.
That is not a supportive circle or you win. and they're not excited to see you actually find success, like, you got to find some people that are going to have your back and really want to lift you up and, yeah, and celebrate those moments. Because when we step out and we start doing our own thing, at first they kind of laugh at us for trying. Mm-hmm. Then, like, we keep doing it and, like, you've changed. You know what I mean? You're not the same person. And it's like, yes, that's exactly what's happening, is I'm changing. And then finally you make it, and some of them are like, hey, I need your help. I want to start doing what you're doing. But it takes you, like, being able to break away. And sometimes a few people will come with you, but sometimes you just have to remove yourself and find a group. And I'm not saying we don't help those people, but we have to help ourselves first sometimes before we can lift while we climb. Sorry. Got a little excited there.
Yeah. That's
that right. Was good.
I was like, keep going with it. Awesome. Yeah. So finding connections. Do you feel like you have opportunities to make those connections? Are there certain people that, are there other opportunities that can be provided as well?
Yeah, I think those connections that I've made so far will lead somewhere. I'm not expecting a quick result from that. But I think with great things, time follows along with that. And sometimes it's a waiting game. You have to be patient. You know, you can't expect to be able to run if you're still learning how to crawl. Mm-hmm. It's so true. Like, I didn't realize how true that was until I started doing what I do. I think that, you know, with connecting with people, something is bound to happen for you. Will it be exactly what you want? No. Chances are it will never be what you want. But that being said, it's probably something you will learn from.
Yeah. And I think also, like, on that note of having expectations, I think a lot of times the value is, don't come in with expectations at all. Like, just be there to learn and understand and
just show up.
Yeah, just showing up is such a big part of it, and really just listening to what problems people are facing, what strengths they can bring, because I think the best networkers are the people that can now connect to other people. Where somebody is, like, trying to get a lease in a building. Well, I know this person that does commercial real estate that helps people in your industry. And if you can be the person that's connecting dots, people see the value in interacting with you. And I think just if you have your ear to the street and you know what's out there, it's a lot easier to connect those dots.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, and a great thing you mentioned, Jacob, about networking and, you know, finding a like-minded sort of group of people that you can connect with. That's a huge part of it, but it's also, I think, to finding people with different perspectives than your own that can kind of open you up to some of those changes that you might not have been willing to even entertain before. Now you're meeting people who have different perspectives. You're kind of growing yourself and, you know, able to kind of open yourself up to new, maybe, opportunities you didn't even consider. So
absolutely. Like Dan, for example, yeah. Here he is at the Chamber of Commerce. You know what I mean?
Didn't think that would happen a couple of years ago, but yeah, let myself kind of go down that path and look at what was out there. So
yeah. Glad I did. That. That's pretty cool. When you said how you sometimes meet people that you didn't think you would come across, and then they shared something that you never would have thought of.
Yeah.
I've had that happen to me so many times. And it's always like another piece that I add to myself. It's like, okay, well, that's a good point. I'm gonna keep that. Thank you for sharing with me.
Yeah, that can be so valuable. And, you know, just putting yourself out there and in these different networking groups and events. And, you know, so you don't always want to be around everyone who's going to necessarily agree or come at something with the same approach. It can be really beneficial to have all types of folks in the room.
Yeah.
And that's what things like greeters and other chamber events are great for too. So,
yeah, diversity is important. There's lots of different elements of diversity, right? And I think we see that at greeters. We see lots of different groups represented, which I think is so powerful. So earlier, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here because I'm curious to hear your perspective on this. Mm-hmm. But you brought up how important first impressions were, and that you made it a priority. Mm-hmm. So feel free to take a moment to think if you want to. But what are some things people can do to set themselves up for success to make a really strong first impression?
Yeah, I think a good first impression is showing that you are confident in yourself and what you do, because people aren't going to trust you if you don't even trust yourself. And with trusting yourself comes loving yourself, right? And I think that's so important in order for you to be the best person you could possibly be. And in order to help people, my grandpa would always tell me, he's like, Cynthia, you have to work on yourself and you have to love yourself before you could do anything for anyone. And once you do that, when you go out and you make that first impression, you meet that first client, you meet the person that you've always wanted to talk to. And it's kind of like, it will just come naturally with you being who you are. And if you are really driven as a person, it will show. I know it sounds harder said than done, but when you really do treat yourself with great respect and you go out and meet that person, it will show, and that is a lasting impression. The fact that you took the time out of your day to go there and the fact that you did all this preparation to be in front of them, that is a great impression.
I want to meet your grandfather now. I want to get coffee with him or something.
Some great tips.
Yeah, I got to hang out with that guy, man. What wise words. That's great.
Yeah, my grandfather, he, unfortunately, you can't meet him. He passed.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. But he was a preacher. And so I grew up in church my whole life. And yeah, he was a wise man. He had great things to say.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Are there things that you do when you start feeling those moments of like, man, can I do this? And imposter syndrome starts creeping in. Like, are there things that you'll do to help get yourself back in a productive space?
Yeah. So I will just step away from whatever I'm doing. I will grab a snack because I love to eat and food
favorite
makes
snack.
Me happy.
What kind of snack? Like, do you have a go-to?
Go-to snack. I love fruit. So I love to eat peaches.
Okay.
Peaches is my go-to. I actually went to Costco and I got a jar of imported peaches from Spain. Oh, they're so bomb. I recommend everyone to buy them. Okay.
So then you don't have to wait for them to be in season. You just have them jarred all the time.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
Yeah. And it's
stock.
A big jar. Like, yeah.
Sounds
impressed.
Good.
So you eat your snack, eat something you like, and then what's the next step?
And then I actually have a dog, so he's a bully. He's honestly, he's to my knees and he's about 95 pounds. He walks me, to be honest. But we go out for a walk and then I'm like, okay, I feel better. You know, whatever I walked out with, I didn't come back in with, and I'm just going to go back at it.
Whatever I walked out with, I didn't walk back in with.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to write a book. What's the name of your book going to be?
It's going to be Cynthia's Greatest Accomplishments.
I love it. All right. There we go. Book is on the way.
That's the reset button.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Hitting that reset button when you're in a funk. And
yeah.
Everyone has their thing, but it's like you got to find out what that is. So it's awesome that you already have that figured out. You can just hit that reset anytime you need to. And some people have to work on that. Like, you know, what is the place that I go to kind of recenter?
Do you have a reset button?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, as I was kind of even talking about that, I'm trying to think about what mine is. And I guess it kind of depends on the situation, but definitely finding like a quiet space, you know, to be kind of introspective and reflective, I think is helpful. But you don't always get that in today's world. You know, you're always, you know, either you're in front of a screen or other people. And so it's tough to find that time.
Yeah. For me, it's kind of related to that, but it's Nora Jones. If I'm getting stressed out, I'll put on a Nora Jones playlist and I'm good. I don't really know what it is about her voice, but it is
Nora
so soothing.
Nora Jones. I'm going to have to look that up.
You don't know who Nora Jones is?
No. I don't know who that is.
Out. Get out of this room
right
now.
You know what? And I'm taking this microphone with me because I like it.
We need the microphone here. But she actually, she's my favorite artist and she's actually going to be in Bend in June. And I bought tickets the first day. I actually bought them from somebody. I didn't realize this at the time, but it was somebody that had done a pre-sale and like relisted them right away. So I probably paid more than I would have if I would have waited a couple of days, but I don't care. I'm pretty excited about that because I've been wanting to see her live for a while.
That's cool.
Share that little tidbit with our audience. I'm sure they're curious.
what genre would you classify Nora Jones as?
Angel.
Angel?
Angel music, heaven music.
Voice of an angel.
Voice of an angel, yeah.
Okay.
But she's like, he started off definitely in jazz. Like
right.
That, but she's kind of done some other stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But let's do our hot seat. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The card's actually right behind you, Dan. I usually am more prepared. The blue box. We're going to leave this whole part into the podcast. So here's how this works, Cynthia. Okay. We all pick like a few cards from this deck. And then we're going to each pick a card to ask a question. And all of us will answer each of the questions.
Okay.
So I'll start since I have the cards here in front of me, and I'll go pretty quick. So as
I'm kind of scared. What kind of questions are you guys going to ask?
They're not too crazy.
The hot seat.
Is this amount of cards good?
Yeah. Just flip through those cards and grab one question that you feel is going to be that you like to ask. It doesn't have to be the perfect question, just something you think would work. All right. You got one, Dan?
Yeah, I got one.
All right, Dan, can start.
All right. Would you rather be a star player on a losing team or ride the bench on a winning team?
Oh, me?
You don't have to go first. I thought you had to answer, though.
I can go first. Okay. So would I be the star player on a losing team or be on the bench of a winning team? Well, not to get personal, and I won't go there, but I would rather be the star player on a losing team. I came from a school where we weren't like, you know, all stars in our sports, but we really did give it our all. And it was definitely a challenge, but it was so rewarding at the entire end of the season because it's like, wow, like who would have thought we would have come through the end of the season and seen it to the end versus being on the bench. I mean, you didn't even contribute to that team. I mean, you did. You were being the cheerleader, but I want to be like in there. I want to get a piece of that action.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I'll go next. I don't know. I'm conflicted on this one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like even if you're on the bench, you're still contributing, right? You still can be giving it your all. You still can be playing a role, but you're not in the game, right? But you're still contributing. And I feel they kind of like set this question up to be like the star player, like you don't care about the rest of the team, which I don't necessarily think is true. I think in either way, you can be humble and hardworking, right? Mm-hmm. In both capacities. I think it's valuable to like still give it your best effort. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to answer this question. I'm definitely overthinking.
He's winding his way to it.
Yeah.
Give it your all.
I think I would rather be on a winning team though. Yeah. Even if I was on the bench, I think I would rather be on a winning team because I feel like you learn more from being on winning teams. And there are definitely are different elements. I think high school sports is one example where people come from very different communities where like some communities basketball is just not important. And so you're not gonna have as good of a team, right? There's different elements. I think overall I'd rather be on the winning team.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't lose people on the podcast. Like stop rambling, Jay.
You're turning this off. Wow, he likes winners only. I'm just kidding.
This is a tough one. Yeah. I mean, I'm so used to being a star that I would like to feel what the bench is like, you know? No, I would pick being a bench player on a winning team too, because I feel like if you're on a winning team, you're all kind of stars, hopefully, in some way. You're at least filling your role and you're contributing, even if you're not in the game, you're still, you know, hopefully helping at practice or, you know, being that encouraging team member in whatever capacity that is. Yeah. So that's kind of where I go to.
I get that. I feel if my wife heard this question, she'd be like, shut up, Jake. There's no way you're going to sit on the bench on any team. You would never want to do that. You would hate it. But maybe
I'm wrong. Yeah, you do want to be in the game, though. Yeah. I mean, everybody wants to be in the game and be, you know, leading the way. But I don't know. Winning is pretty fun.
Okay.
Is fun.
Winning's the best. That's why I'm happy to be part of the Salem community because we friggin' went out here winning right now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's another one. So what's something you believed earlier in your career but think different about now? I have an answer if nobody... I'll start.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So for me, I used to think that I had to have the best ideas. And I put a lot of value in that. So even like before meetings, I would like strategically talk to people to get them like bought into my ideas so that we went to the team meeting. They would like have my back and we would like do the thing I came up with. But I realized that's just like a toxic mentality to have on the team. And like in reality, the meeting should be like, let's just come up with the best idea together. And it's amazing. Mountain West actually has this on their wall, but it's amazing what can happen when nobody cares about who gets the credit. And if you have that sort of mentality on a team, you can make some pretty special things happen.
Yeah, the one that I was thinking of was, I think when I was younger, when I was starting out working, I really approached everything with just like brute force work ethic. Just if I put in more hours and put in more effort, like it will lead to results. And I've learned over time that working smarter is actually much more effective. And so trying to be more strategic in everything that I do. So taking that approach over the last few years, I think has really been helpful, because sometimes you can throw as many hours as you can at something, but if you're going about it the wrong way, you're just not going to get where you need to go.
Absolutely.
That's true.
That's a good one. How about for you?
What was the question again?
Yeah, I can repeat it. So what's something you believed earlier in your career, but think about differently now?
Oh, yes, yes. Okay. When you saw that, I was like, yeah, I know exactly how I'd answer that. I always thought it was about the quantity of everything. I thought I had to get more done, meet more people, make more calls, and then I would have gotten where I wanted to be. Well, no, it's about the quality of every single person I connect with.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be my authentic self each and every single time, not just blow off this one because of that. It's really about how you do everything and you put your all in everything, I'd say. But back to what you were saying, Dan, you know, working smarter, that is something that I've had to definitely learn in my young professional career.
Yeah, because it's like sometimes you go through your task list or your checklist and you're checking off a bunch of things and that feels good. But then what do some of those things even mean in the bigger scheme of what the goal is or what you're trying to accomplish?
Like, how are we measuring success, and are we moving the needle, or are we just getting things done because it feels good to check off a box? So slippery slope for sure. That's a good one. All right. Last question. Do you have one?
It was actually the first card on my deck. I thought it was a good one. Okay. So if you could write a book, what would it be about?
So I'm working on a book on coaching, specifically for leaders, how to give effective feedback. So that's what it will be about. The art of a one-on-one conversation.
I like that. You'll have to put some of my quotes in there.
Oh, it's going to be, will you do the preface, the foreword? Forward by Cynthia Padron, because by the time this book is out, like, you're going to accomplish such amazing things in your life that it's going to be an honor. So I'm excited for this.
Thank you.
Yes. Now you have to do it though, because
you just put me on blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a tough one because I've always wanted to be a writer. That's what my background is in. And when I tell people that, a lot of people have said, oh, you should write a book. Oh, like, that's an easy thing to do, you know, and then
you should make an action movie.
Yeah. Just do that. And so I've always thought about, what would it be about? And I have so many varying interests that I haven't really landed on what I would like to write a book about something one day, but what it would be in, I'd have to kind of distill that down, because it'd probably be something that I'm passionate about, like sports, like doing some research project about sports or poker or some other interest that I have. So I'd probably want to just pick one and do a deep dive into it, do all the research and all the interviews, and, you know, find a topic that would be well suited for that. But I haven't really found it yet. So that's kind of a non-answer.
No, I like it though. I have thought about it. But people do approach this topic very passively. Like, I think I want to write a book. Like, they don't really think about how much work it is to actually write 200 pages on a specific topic. And make it, that's coherent. And yeah, for sure.
That's a really long essay. I'll say that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How about you? The book you're going to write in the future?
Yeah. So the book that I would write, I feel like I'm trying to find my purpose in life. I think I know what I want to do with my life, but I think a great topic to speak on is finding your purpose in life, because people just do things just because, or, you know, someone in the family did it, so I should do it. Or if that person can do it, I can do it. It's never really like, well, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be? And I think maybe I could write something up good about that.
I agree. I love that. And I think it's, I think when you are 24, 25, you feel like, oh man, I'm so old. I need to have things figured out by now. But you are not. You are so young. Mm-hmm. You know, God willing, you have many years ahead of you. So you have time to try out a lot of different things, see what you like. And I think through everything that you try, you get the experience, you get new skills are developed through it. So I think feel like sometimes people wait, like they want to like find their calling before they get started. But I think it actually works the opposite. Like we put ourselves to work. We try different things, and kind of along the way, we start understanding what's important to us and what we like. So,
yeah, and sometimes it's useful to go through those experiences that are difficult, but they teach you what maybe you don't want to do or what you're not as passionate about. So that can kind of redirect you to the right path.
Yes. Anybody who's read the book, The Alchemist, they know what we're talking about right now. Have you read it?
No.
I love that you're just like nodding your head. Like,
what's it called?
The Alchemist?
The Alchemist. No.
I know of it.
You have a bunch of books back there. Do you have a copy I can borrow?
I'm actually looking. I may have given it to somebody else, but it's a really good book. Another book, actually, a book I'll give you is The Greatest Salesman in the World. Have you read it?
No.
It's actually not a book about sales. It's a book about resilience. But okay. I left a copy up front with Ashley, and I put on Instagram, like, whoever comes and gets this book, it's yours. And nobody came to get it. So here we are. It's a really good book.
I have you on Instagram, so if I had done that.
You're not following at Mr. Jacob Espy on Instagram?
No.
Wow. Messed up. All right, we'll fix that. I think. I don't know.
Are you on Instagram, Dan?
I am, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't use my personal account much, though. That's something I do want to change. I want to get into, posting more kind of travel pictures around the Northwest. That's kind of what I started it as, and need to get back to that.
Yeah, you should. I mean, Oregon's beautiful.
It is, yeah.
It's funny because there's so many different, like, places to go, and people that come to Oregon, they're like, yeah, it's green. It's like, oh yeah, it's
there are so many diverse landscapes, and the beaches and the
sand dunes,
Central Oregon, Eastern Oregon,
all the skiing and snowboarding resorts,
a lot of cool places in Portland, right here in Salem,
yes,
Eugene,
yeah,
so we got it all.
So Cynthia, what is next for you? Where are you going from here? Well, not literally today.
Oh, but like, okay. I was like, I'm going to go get dinner.
But what's next for you? How can people get a hold of you?
What's next for me? Well, I'm on the Chamber website. If you guys know anyone that wants to connect with me and wants to grow their business and talk about realistic solutions to kind of help boost what you're currently doing. I mean, I know.
So what does that mean? What's an example of a realistic solution?
So let's say you are a business owner and you're located, we'll just say downtown Salem, and you want to start up a second location because you're doing so well. The place is packed. People are saying great things, but you just don't know where exactly you're going to put that second location. What's really cool about Heartland is we have what's called customer intelligence, and it is an analytics program that will actually let you know where your customers are coming from. I know that sounds kind of crazy, like, oh, you know, I know where my customers are coming from. You don't literally know where they live, but it will show you the zip code of where that customer is coming
from. It's one of those things where they actually know where you live, but they just can't tell you because of like privacy laws. So like, we'll give you a general idea.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that comes to it, but that's one of the really cool things that we can offer to our clients that we work with. Another thing too is maybe you are a business owner that's consistently on the go. You do have an office, but you don't really have people coming in and out. You know, it's just more of, I'm going to go here, do the job, and then I need to get paid for my services. That's something that we could also work on as well. Something cool about Heartland, we work as our own financial institution. So we have the ability to, you know, offer our customers and clients, you know, same day, next day funding. I mean, I could go on. There's so many different things about us, but I would say the most unique thing about Heartland is you have a rep And so I myself, I'm located here in Salem. I do travel up and down the I-5 to meet as many people as I possibly can. And the reality is you get to work with me, unfortunately for you.
So as the customer, you have that personal connection. You're not going through middle people or automated systems or anything like that?
No, absolutely not. You work with me. We are located here in the U.S. We're actually in Oklahoma City, so that is our headquarters. But me, myself, and many other reps, we are all considered outside sales reps. So, yeah, you will probably come across a Heartland rep in another city.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We are absolutely passionate about
this. This is pretty cool.
Well, yeah. You're a big deal, and we're passionate about making sure people in our community understand how much we appreciate them. You know, being 24, 25, and being focused, to me, I think is just incredible. Because when I was that age, I was just drunk at a bar somewhere being an idiot. So it's awesome seeing people kind of have that vision earlier in their life and the amount of potential and things that you can accomplish.
I was probably there too.
I think we were probably together. We like stumbled into each other.
Yeah.
I would say that was me when I hit 21. I was like, yeah, let's go. And then honestly, I got burnt out so fast from doing
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't look back. Keep going.
Yeah,
forward.
Everyone, if there's one piece forward. Of advice I could give you, don't drink. It's bad for you.
I'm on day 5 of 75 hard right now.
How's it going so far?
And I've had, it's going great. I've had moments of sobriety throughout my life. Like when I hit 30, I just stopped drinking for like 5 years. And then I kind of got casually into it again. And then last year, 2020, I was like, I'm home anyways. And so, you know, but I'm back in a track where I'm just like not really interested in drinking at all. So
good for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Are you as well? Are you sober? Entirely, or
I would say I'm a social drinker, but to be honest, yeah, I really don't drink. Like if I'm gonna go out to dinner, I'll get maybe a cocktail because I like fruity drinks, and I'll have one and I'm done. That's it.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good
that's the way to go.
That's the way to go, right?
Yeah. I'm boring, honestly.
That's awesome. You're focused, which I love. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here. And if you are not connected with Cynthia already, what's the best place? Like LinkedIn? I tell you, you have your LinkedIn link on your Instagram. So I'm assuming you're kind of trying to point people that way.
Yeah. So I just recently joined LinkedIn. Come and follow my page. What do the influencers do? Click below. You'll see my IG, my LinkedIn, Snapchat. Oh, yeah. I have Snapchat too, guys. But you can connect with me anyway. Yeah.
We will put her link to LinkedIn in the show notes. So click that, get connected, and you'll see her at Greeters. She's at Greeters on Fridays, and you're going to be at the Coffee Social on the first Wednesday of this month, or at April.
That's for the emerging leaders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to send me the email so I can go.
I got you. We're going to get you signed up today.
Okay, sounds good. Yes, I will be there, everyone.
You just got done listening to the Salem Emerging Leader podcast, and we appreciate it. If you look in the show notes, you will find a link. If you click on that link, you'll be able to subscribe to the Salem Emerging Leader newsletter. We want you to be in touch with all the incredible things that are happening in this city because of people like you. We appreciate you. I hope you have a good day.